Okay, so we are here in the nine episode 17 of this series, season 9. This whole focus of this series has been that we would dwell in the Word and let the Word dwell in us richly. Of course, that's the entire focus of the Dwelling Richly podcast. But in particular, this series, I've been working through ways that we would not do Bible study, not just read the Word and check it off our list, but that we would move into the Word with our heart, soul, mind, strength, our entire being, and be intentional about making that shift from treating the Word of God like a self-help book to actually loving it and letting it dwell in us as the living Word of God that it is. And last episode, I talked about how we would approach God's Word. And we would address the idea of emotions, what role emotions play as we are into God's word. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about emotions is because, well, obviously we're emotional people, but oftentimes we can move into God's word, open up the word, and move into it with an anticipation of an emotional outtake. We are to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Obviously, the entire encompassing of who we are would include our emotions as much as it includes our intellect and our physical strength, our actual body, right? And that's what we are asked to do, that we would love God that way. And if, by extension, we should love His word that way. So how do we, as emotional people, then approach the word of God without pushing our emotions into it? And wanting an emotional hit on the way out. And here's what I mean by that. We are going through a lot in our life. We are fearful. We are joyful. We are relaxed and carefree, and we're uptight, and we are anxious, right? We have all the range of these emotions, right? So when we're feeling an array of emotions, how do we then approach the Bible? We want to be in the Word. How do we bring that into the Bible without pushing it onto the Word and potentially, unfortunately, being disappointed that we would, okay, I'm going to do my devotional, I'm going to do my Bible time, and be disappointed that, well, that didn't do anything for me. I don't feel uplifted when I leave. And so I want to encourage us as we move into the Bible that there's a possibility that you might read the Word of God. You might read your devotional time in the Word and leave not feeling uplifted if you're approaching it with the wrong expectation, an ungodly expectation. And I'll go ahead and just say an expectation that lacks humility. We talked about humility. We talked about not using God to get what we want in a previous episode. You can go back through and listen to those, or those are, it's an important concept as well. But we've been moving through 1 John as our anchoring, centering passages for this particular season of the podcast. And today we are in 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read through verses 6 through 12. The reason why I chose to just stick with a book of the Bible and not stick with a topic is because we should approach the Bible as a totality. We shouldn't read a passage and yank out of it our little feel-good moment for the day. That's the problem. When we approach the Bible emotionally, we're looking for that hit for the day to move us forward. So instead of approaching it that way, one of the ways we can avoid that is to be disciplined and say, you know what? I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm just going to read God's word as a total package rather than pulling through little chunks at a time that, you know, are designed to hit emotionally, like searching on the word, how to feel good, and then, you know, type in the word Bible, how to feel good when I'm reading the Bible. We're going to avoid that. So we're going to be disciplined. We're going to be humble. We're going to love God's word truly and not use it manipulatively. And so we're continuing in our study through 1 John. Is not technically a study because I'm not moving in to try to exegete 1 John for you. I'm moving in to try to demonstrate, exemplify using, reading through, not using in a sense, that sense, but, you know, reading the Bible and then allowing it to teach us. And so even though our focus today is going to be talking about emotions and if we can trust them, are going to be continuing in. All right, so let's go ahead and do that. First of all, I want to just say the title, Emotions, Can You Trust Them? I borrowed from Dr. James Dobson, who wrote a fabulous book back in the, I think, early 80s called Emotions, Can You Trust Them? And I haven't reread that book in quite a long time, but I would encourage you to go back to it and read it and pull out the beautiful truths that are in that great book by Dr. Dobson. So I borrowed this title from that great book, Emotions, Can You Trust Them? And plain and simple, the answer is maybe not, you know, and maybe we are using our emotions to guide us rather than to just be a gauge of where we are in our life. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to, again, go back to 1 John. So let me go ahead and read God's Word, and if you would bring that open and have it open, whatever version you're reading out of today, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, and let's go. Let's get into God's Word. So 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 6. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the water, or the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I'm going to touch on a couple of quick points, I guess a little bit of exegesis, just to bring some clarity. As you are listening to the word and reading it on your own, you might be wondering, what does that mean? What are we talking about? What are we talking about here? So in that opening section and the opening verse, this is the one who came by water and blood. A lot of ways to think about that. But we want to understand the whole picture. John would have walked with Jesus before he wrote this epistle. And he would have seen Jesus be baptized, that's the water, and he would have known and seen Jesus be crucified, and that's the blood, all right? So he says, this is He who came by water and blood, that's Jesus, not by the water or baptism only, but by the water and the blood. So he didn't just get baptized, but he made that incredibly significant required sacrifice. And we have the Holy Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. In other words, the Spirit's not going to lie. The Holy Spirit who fell down and anointed Jesus when he was baptized testifies to this. Interestingly, on this past Sunday, I just preached about this similar connections actually to this passage. You might want to go back and listen to that. It's called The Light of the World. And it was through John's Gospel from chapter 8. But there are three that testify, and there's the Holy Spirit and the water, that's baptism, and the blood, that's the cross, and these all agree. And so this is John saying everything that about Jesus is true. We have testimony that it's true. God himself has said that it's true. So if you don't believe that, if you don't believe this, then you're making God a liar. All right, so that's the important part. Now let's get to this bottom verse, 11 and 12, because this is going to connect especially to what we're talking about today, emotions. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, listen, that's the most important thing. Your life is going to be an emotional roller coaster. It just is. You know it is. You could be trolling along, walking along, having a great day. You did your devotions. You sang your worship songs. Your relationships are on point. You're feeling really good, even in spite of things maybe not feeling on point. You're just feeling good and strong. But something happens later in the day, or women, men, everyone with our hormones, all those things can impact us. Moving into summer, it's going to get hot. You're going to get cranky. Emotions are not trustworthy. They ebb and they flow and they rise and they fall. We need to be anchored in truth so that when, because that will happen, not if, when it does happen and you feel emotionally low, you come back to truth. And it's a simple orienting question to ask when you're feeling low and discouraged and feeling like, what is going on with me? Ask, what do I know to be true about God? Anchor yourself, not in your emotions. They will lie to you. They will try to convince you, in a sense, to altering of your reality. What is true about God? What is true about my faith in God? What is true about what I have come to believe? And we go back to a beautiful, simple, anchoring verse like we have here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Do you believe that? Yes. I have life that is not of this world. I have eternal life in his Son. In a technical sense, everyone gets eternal life. It's just your final destination that matters. But the most important thing is I have eternal life now. I have his Son now. I have hope in him now. I have anchoring truth in who God is now. My emotions are not to be trusted. Again, emotions can be a gauge, but not a guide to what I am doing in my life. My guide is whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's my guide. That's truth. That remains steadfast. And so when your emotions come, and they will, don't use them to be your guide. If you have been letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I promise you that will come back in incredible, steadfast, anchoring benefits for you. Because rather than your emotions ruling you and swaying back and forth with your sadness or your happiness or feeling fulfilled in life or not feeling fulfilled, if your anchoring truth has been received because of you dwelling in the Word of God and letting the Word of God dwell in you richly, I promise you, you will not swing with your emotions like you may have done in the past and maybe are doing today. You are going to be overwhelmed by sadness. You're going to be overwhelmed by grief. You're going to be overwhelmed by disappointment. Those things overwhelm you. But I want you to picture yourself as someone who's firmly anchored, rooted in the deep dwelling soil of God's word and truth. And I want you to picture, if you were like a post out at the beach, that post is dug deep, deep, deep down into the dirt and the sand, well below the waters that are above it. Is it possible for that post to get overwhelmed by a wave? Of course it is. Could a wave come and hit that post and shake and rattle it? And could it be even submerged underwater for a time? Of course it could. But you are still anchored in what matters. And in that picture, the wave is going to come and the wave is going to go. And you could be overwhelmed by any given emotion at any given time because life is going to bring those to you. The important thing to have is your anchor in God. And that comes from letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as you read God's word, you're reminded, hey, Jesus Christ, he came from water, baptism, blood, the cross. I have that truth. The Spirit has testified to that truth. I realize life is going to ebb and flow. And so I have this testimony. I believe in the Son of God. All right. I don't make God a liar. I don't waver back and forth. I have an awareness of this life being challenging. I'm, as Peter says in chapter 1, verse 13, 1 Peter, he says, preparing your minds for action, being sober minded. And where is our hope set? Fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ ultimately comes. Okay. I have that eternal, immutable, unchangeable, forever hope because I have not read the word of God for a quick fix for today. So with that, I'm going to close. We're going to do this in part 2. 2 tomorrow, or next, actually the next episode. But for part 1 today, that's our hope. That's our truth. Being anchored in the reality of who Jesus is, and to be fiercely dedicated to letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, so that when the waves come, and they will, they don't overrun and overrule my emotions. So listen to the next episode. We're going to talk about this again. I would love to hear questions you have, any clarity you would like to hear some more about this. And then in 3 episodes, I'm going to answer some of those questions. So submit your questions. You can email those to me. I'll put the email below and send me those questions. I'd love to talk to you more about that. And because I want us to be steadfast in our faith. So join me again. Know that you are loved and prayed for. Know that I think about you. I love it when you leave a comment because I can see your name and I can pray for you specifically. And I'll see you again, or I'll hear from you again in our next episode coming up in a couple of days. Until then, again, know that you are loved and prayed for. I look forward to being back here again with you real soon. Bye-bye.